श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की, ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की, गंगा माई जमुना माई की, भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की, कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की, श्रीला प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की, इताई गौर प्रेमानंदे, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। 150th प्रेरणा फेस्टिवल की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्या नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम्। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానోసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామో 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. ఐ వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ద గెస్ట్స్ అండ్ యూత్ దిస్ ఈవినింగ్ ఫర్ ద 150th ప్రేరణ ఫెస్టివల్ అండ్ ఐ కంగ్రాచులేట్ ఐవైఎస్ ముంబై ఫర్ బీయింగ్ స్టెడీలీ సర్వింగ్ ఓవర్ ద లాస్ట్ 16 లాంగ్ ఇయర్స్ టు కీప్ దిస్ ఫెస్టివల్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ స్పైట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ అప్స్ అండ్ డౌన్స్ and a wonderful, wonderful effort by IOS Chopadi. On behalf of IOS, he's receiving the applause. India has currently around 800 universities and around 50,000 colleges and standalone institutions related to education. In all of these institutions, colleges, universities, tremendous amount of energy is being put to train the students in the right kind of skill sets, in terms of competence. ISKCON Youth Service is trying to add value by helping create the right kind of character set. And therefore, over the last 25 years, we have been actively trying to assist the youth all across India through different ISKCON temples to try to really transform their character, transform their lives from feelings of selfishness to the feelings of selfless service. We are very grateful that all of you have been actively participating in this journey, and we hope that the journey will continue and we continue transforming society, transforming the hearts, transforming character of people by distributing this message. Unfortunately, we find that Kali Yuga is a yuga of great atheism, skepticism, and lack of interest in spiritual subject matters. Today's topic is about the glories of India, and we are going to discuss about the glories of India in terms of three principles ఇండియా ఆఫ్ ద పాస్ట్, ఇండియా ఆఫ్ ద ప్రెజెంట్ అండ్ ఇండియా ఆఫ్ ద ఫ్యూచర్. అండ్ వీ విల్ సీ హౌ వీ కెన్ రియలీ అప్రిషియేట్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ రిసీవ్డ్. ఐల్ బిగిన్ విత్ అ స్టోరీ. సో దేర్ వాజ్ దిస్ స్కూల్ ఇన్స్పెక్టర్, ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఆఫీసర్, డిస్ట్రిక్ట్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఆఫీసర్. హీ కేమ్ టు అ స్కూల్ అండ్ హీ ఎంటర్డ్ ద క్లాస్ అండ్ ఇన్ ద క్లాస్ హీ ఆస్క్డ్ ద టీచర్ వాట్ ఆర్ యూ టీచింగ్ అండ్ ద టీచర్ సెడ్ ఐఎమ్ టీచింగ్ రామాయణ్. సో ద డిస్ట్రిక్ట్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ ఆఫీసర్ హీ లుక్డ్ అట్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద స్టూడెంట్స్ వాజ్ సిట్టింగ్ రైట్ ఎట్ ద బ్యాక్ బెంచ్, ద లాస్ట్ గాయ్, అండ్ ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్ టు గెట్ అప్. అండ్ ద గాయ్ గాట్ అప్ రిలక్టెంట్లీ అండ్ ద ఇన్స్పెక్టర్ ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్, సో హూ బ్రోక్ ద శివ ధనుష్? And as you know, in the Ramayana, Lord Ram broke the Shiva Dhanush and married Sita Devi, in case those in the audience don't know. So he asked this question, who broke the Shiva Dhanush? So the guy got up, looked at the school inspector, bewildered. And then after pausing for a few moments, he reflected and he said, sir, last 10 days I was not in school. I really don't know who broke. And his friend was sitting right next to him. So the inspector asked him, hey, you tell. And that boy got up and said, yes, he's telling the truth. He was not here for last 10 days. So the inspector got really bewildered. He looked at the teacher and said, what is this going on? I am asking question, who broke the Shiva Dhanush? And he is saying that he has not come last 10 days. Teacher said, sir, he has only broken. And then this student got up and said, hey, how can you say like that? I have not broken, I have not been here. Hey, you are the one who broke the window last week. You are the one who broke that door. You are the one who broke that bench. And the teacher went on giving a whole list. And the inspector was totally bewildered. What is going on here in this school? And then there was a big fight and the students got up and they started shouting, screaming. And it became a total tamasha. The inspector came out, came to the principal's cabin. And he reported that what kind of school is this? I asked about Ramayana, who broke the Shiva Dhanush. And when I'm asking who broke the Shiva Dhanush, this is what is going on. Everybody is creating a ruckus. There is a big tamasha going on. The principal said, sir, I told you before only, this is not an easy school. Why you had to get involved to investigate who broke? I will do it myself. So he got even more bewildered. So he said, I am going to cancel this entire school certification. Get the trustees. So they called all the trustees. And then he reported to the trustees that I came for an inspection and this is what is going on in this school of yours. What is going on here? I asked who broke the Shiva Dhanush and then this is the whole series of incidents which have happened. I cannot tolerate this. I'm going to cancel your registration. The chairman of the trustee, he looked at him and said, sir, why you are making such a big deal? If it is broken, I will supply a new one. So, the purpose of all of us gathering here is to acknowledge how we can add spiritual values in the lives of youth today. As far as competence is concerned, it's there to a great degree. But is there something we can add in terms of spiritual values? And therefore, in today's presentation, what will come out very strongly are the three features which are very, very prominent in India. The spiritual intuition, the innovative intellect, and third, very, very important and crucial, is the ability of the Indian youth to actually work with great integrity. If we have the right intention and integrity, the proper spiritual intuition and sincerity in intellect, that can really transform society. And therefore we find that since time immemorial, India has been famous for this. Pre-independence, right from the beginning of creation, India has been leading the world in terms of knowledge. And so it is described that in 300 BC, India was not even having any written script because everything could be memorized. People had the ability to memorize things. In Kali Yuga today, we can no longer imagine that kind of memory, where you hear something and you remember everything as it is. People come to the lecture and say, amazing lecture. Kya point sunaya? And I say, ek point sunao. Itna jordar tha, kuch yaad nahi. We shot for the Atma serial many years ago in 2001. And then when we shot 2001-2002, just for 1 year, every year they were repeating that telecast on Star Plus for 9 years. So I approached them and said, do you want a new episode? They said, no. No need. Kisi ko samajhta hi nahi. Old or new. And the height was, one young man came to me and said, Prabhu, this year's episode is better than last year's. I said, how is that possible? It is the same thing being repeated. He says, no. This time it is a new one. I said, I was the speaker, Baba. He said, no, you give so many lectures, you forget. So the written script came around a different period. And till that time, people had the capacity to just remember things and transmit that across generations. It is said that in several Vedic scriptures, you will find the reference of Saraswati, a civilization which grew around Saraswati. And then many people question, does this Saraswati actually exist? And India had an expedition in space along with France, and it was a mission called SPOT. And they actually found out and identified through space satellite systems symptoms of a river which was flowing thousands of years ago. And it has been recorded, it has been published, it has been proved that yes, there was a river which was existing. And exactly the same direction where the scriptures have been defining, all the way from the Himalayas till the Arabian Sea. And there are hundreds of references of Saraswati in the Vedic scriptures, including in the Mahabharata, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the Rig Vedas. Therefore, the ancient existence of this civilization cannot be dismissed even by the most scientific temper, because there are a lot of evidence to the contrary. It is said that modern civilization is quite different from the Vedic civilization in terms of one crucial factor. The Vedic civilization existed for the purpose of defining a very important conclusion in society. Who am I? Why do I exist? And how can my needs be fulfilled? Unless we identify our existence, who am I? There is no question of trying to satisfy the person. If you do not know who the person is, how will you satisfy? Therefore, the entire Vedic paradigm was first understand the self, then work towards satisfying the self. And therefore, The whole Vedic civilization was centered around understanding we are the soul trapped in material nature and our spiritual needs must be fulfilled not at the cost of neglecting the material needs and the physical needs but having a harmony between physical, emotional and spiritual needs ultimately leading to liberation. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. And that was the perfect synergy in Vedic civilization. And so we find that a Belgian economist, Paul Bayroch, has come up with very excellent data where he mentions that many people feel that India is a poor country and India was always a poor country. But actually the data reveals something to the contrary. That when India was leading a life centered around God, when the Vedic lifestyle was going on in full swing, in AD 1, India's contribution to the world GDP was 32%. By AD 1000, India's contribution to the GDP became 28%. By 1500, it became 26%. By 1700, it became 24%. The British influence began after that. By 1800, it came down to 16%. By 1870, it went to 12%. And when the British tightened the grip further, by 1900, India's contribution to the world GDP became 1%. Therefore, one should never think that we were always poor. No, there were circumstances which actually made this happen. And therefore, it's very crucial to realize that in 1901, 1 billion British pounds worth of money had already been transferred to United Kingdom. And so we find that a lot of the money here was being utilized for financing the armies and financing life in UK. And therefore, as far as the lifestyle was concerned, the original lifestyle all the way till these influences grew was extremely filled with prosperity. If you look at the textile industry of India was contributing to almost 25% of the world's textile industry. And the handlooms were very, very famous and we were exporting to all different countries of the world. But then again, certain restrictions were imposed because of which gradually it also broke down. The jewelry, precious stones business was one of the most prominent. And even till today, 9 out of 10 diamonds which are cut in the world are cut in India and by Indians. And out of that, out of $26 billion worth of business across the world in diamond, $17 billion worth of business is with Gujaratis. Suche. And therefore, pottery, porcelain, ceramics, metals, you name it, practically all these trades and skills was very, very prominent. When you refer to science and technology, a society which was centered around spirituality did not neglect other aspects of life. Albert Einstein said, "We are very grateful to India who has taught the whole world counting." There is a great philosopher called Voltaire. He said, "So many aspects of knowledge across different parts of the world owes its origin to various thinkers and intellectuals who gave us this knowledge from the bank of the Ganges. And so, one may think that, yes, Newton discovered gravity. But gravity was discovered by Bhaskaracharya 400 years before that. And as far as maths is concerned, mathematics was extremely well developed for more than 2000 years. And so it is described that there is a great mathematician called Baudhayana. And he says that Dirghasya Aksharasya Rajju Parshwamani Yatat Prathabhute Kurutasmat Tirthapada Mani Ubhayam Karoti. Did you understand what this is? Come on, you know it. This is the Pythagoras theorem. A square plus B square is equal to Dirghasya Aksharasya. Just imagine. If mathematics was taught in schools and colleges like this, then you will find it easier to study Bhagavad Gita. Then, one more verse, I'm sure you must be knowing this. Samasya dvikarani pramanam tritiyena vardhayeta tat chaturtha anatma chatushtas trimshena sa vishesha. Got it? This verse gives the square root of 2. This is the calculation of square root of 2 is equal to 1.414216 through a shloka. Okay, the third one definitely you must be knowing. Chaturdhikam shatam ashtagunam dvashashti stita sahaganam ayutat yadi skambhasya asatro vritta parinaha. Come on, this you know. Okay, whoever gives the answer will get an extra prasadam today. This gives the value of pi. And it describes how the value of pi is calculated to be 3.1416. And this is not something which happened recently. And this is way back, many, many thousands of years ago. So I remember when I was in IIT, in our first year we had this experiment to find the value of G is 9.8 meter per second square. You know, and in our group, different people were coming with different values. You know, someone said, 15, someone said 40, one guy came with negative value. And one of my colleagues said, no, I have found the value, it is 10.2. I have done the experiment exactly the way it has to be done. It is perfect. And others said, "Are, are you become grandfather of Newton or what? If Newton has said 9.8, it must be somewhere around only." So I adjust it. So everybody accepts authority. Therefore, we may be thinking that we are living in a society which is learning knowledge and getting information from different parts of the world. But you should also be aware of the gems and the information which is available right in your own backyard. And not only that, in Vedic mathematics, the areas of the triangle, trigonometry, sine, cosine, inverse sine, all of that have been described through shlokas. And so, way back in 499 AD, the speed of the earth was also ascertained. And you must have heard amongst different acharyas the name of Shripad Madhvacharya. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ji ki. So Shripad Madhvacharya is famous mainly for Dvaita philosophy. But you may be shocked to know that apart from expounding the Dvaita philosophy of bhakti, he was also instrumental in establishing the Taylor series in mathematics. 250 years before Taylor, the Newton power series before Newton, the Leibniz series and the Leibniz power series for pi, hundreds of years before Leibniz himself. And therefore, if you go into the details, it's just fascinating that such powerful spiritual personalities, they also had complete hold over every detail which was required to live life in harmony with the ultimate goal. So therefore the whole Vedic lifestyle was a lifestyle of harmony. I was traveling in a flight to London, and in the flight, you know, I was chanting. And many people, when they see chanting, even Indians, they start thinking, what is this? This is some kind of superstition. And especially when they see someone in saffron and different hairstyle. I was trying to give somebody prasadam and the guy refused. I said, I have seen people refusing Gita, not prasadam. Why are you refusing prasadam? He said, ye khaunga, mera hairstyle bhi aapke jaisa ho jayega. So that is the thought process of many people. So as I was chanting, this lady from behind said, Swamiji, stop. Too loud. Disturbing me. Be quiet. And so I decreased my volume. And then suddenly in the same flight, there was somebody who drank a lot of liquor. And he started creating tantrums. He was shouting and screaming and this and that. And this lady suddenly turned to me and said, Swamiji. I said, what? Through your chanting, control him. I said, Baba, if with the chanting I am able to control myself, that is a big deal. The purpose of spiritual practice is to have self-control. And many people feel this whole concept of practice of spiritual life is just superstition. We are intellectual. We are scientific minded. We do not accept all this sitting and hearing Gita and Bhagavat and this and that. How do you know who has spoken that and what's all this going on? Where is the proof for all this? There was this guy who entered into a village and he saw the farmer was chasing one bull. And the bull was going round and round. And you know ghani mill? So oil was coming out. So the seeds were being ground. So this gentleman looked at this farmer and said, it's a very big logician, intellectual. He said, hey, what is this going on? Going round and round. What is this bull doing? So the farmer said, well, the bull is, you know, moving around this machine and we are getting very good quality oil, cold pressed oil. So then this intellectual looked at the farmer and said, why are you chasing him? Why are you going behind him? He said, well, I am giving him direction. Not always, but now and then I have to give him direction. So then this intellectual said, what is this bell around this bull's neck? What is the bell doing? And so the farmer said, well, you know, sometimes the bull may stop working. And so if the bull stops working, the bell stops ringing. So I get to know that the bull is not working. So I come and gently nudge him to continue working. So I get an indication. So the intellectual said, ha! I realized. What a fool you are. The farmer said, what happened? If the bull stands at one place and shakes his head, then also bell will ring. The farmer said, maybe he is a bull, not an intellectual like you. So sometimes we ask too many questions, which is good. But here is an example of great, powerful, spiritual personalities
who were not only expressing their intellect in the field of spirituality, but also in pure mathematics. How can you deny that? And so we have astronomy. The great treatise called Surya Siddhanta. It was prepared in 1000 BC. And in Surya Siddhanta, which was in 1000 BC, the distance between sun to the moon has been ascertained to be 253,000 miles. And then, after modern science got the instruments and the ability and the capacity, they came to the figure of 252,710 miles. To this degree of accuracy, the actual distance has already been described before. The Earth's dia has been defined in all of these literatures, and by very powerful astrophysicists in the Vedic paradigm to be 7840 miles. And then the actual scientists came up and they said it is 7926 miles. So you can see the degree of accuracy of information which was already present. Bhaskaracharya, the great astronomer, he defined the distance or the time taken for the Earth to orbit the Sun to be 365.2587 days, to this degree of accuracy. When it comes to shipping and navigation, the word navy comes from the Sanskrit word nau, and as you know, nau in Hindi. And navigation, navagati. And Nelson, in the famous fight, defeated Napoleon. And that ship which we used to actually defeat Napoleon in that famous battle, that ship was built in Mumbai. And there is nothing to hurry bowl on that. But I'm just saying that. Many of us feel that, okay, the whole exercise of shipbuilding started very recently. And you may not be aware that in 1857, India had more than 34,000 ships, most of them of capacity of more than 1.2 million ton. And navigation and trade through the seas was so prominent, and practically all over the world, everybody acknowledged the Indian ships to be of the best and the sturdiest technology. The British somehow wanted to curb this, and they made various kinds of laws, and by 1900, only 1686 ships remained. And gradually, the entire maritime industry, which was locally managed, wound up. In the medical science, Ayurveda, very prominent, Charaka and Sushruta. Sushruta has been doing surgery of all kinds, including plastic surgery, for 1,000 years plus. So who can understand that from what extent this kind of medical science has been progressing right from those days? Dhanurveda, the military science, very prominent. All kinds of weapons which could be shot by very subtle means, including the use of things like Brahmastra, have been described. Nuclear weapon which is so precise that it will only hit the particular target. Martial arts like Kalari, which originated in 200 BC, a combination of Dhanurveda and Yoga, Ayurveda, various practices put together for physical fitness, protection, defense and offense both. And so we find that practically most Indians are not aware that it was one of the very powerful Kalari exponents who actually went from South India. His name was Bodhidharma, and he was one of the main founders of Kung Fu. And so we find that in today's day and age, the youth in India are not being trained in any kind of martial arts or self-defense. Many years ago, we were distributing books in Nasik, and we had a bus party, and we had set up a book table, and we had one devotee who was standing at the book table, and he was in the armed forces before, so he was trained a little bit. So suddenly, out of the blue, there was this one guy who came up and he said that, you know, I am the main gunda here, and without my permission nothing can happen. Whose permission did you take for setting up this book table? So this devotee looked at him and said, "Hey Baba, why do I need your permission? Now, Krishna is the supreme. I don't need your permission, and you're not even any legal authority." And this man became very angry, and he became little aggressive, and immediately held the shirt of this devotee, the kurta of this devotee, and started shaking him up. And this devotee was from a Fauji background, you know. So he just gave him a gentle tap, and this guy went thrown off, and he fell on the ground, got up, turned around and ran away. So the other devotees came to this, you know, Fauji Baba and said, "Hey, you should not have done like this. He must be a big gunda or something. He may bring other friends tomorrow. You know, you are a Fauji, we are Mauji. We can't defend. What will happen?" And the next day actually it happened. You know, they saw this gentleman coming. This man came with four or five other friends of his. And, you know, all the other devotees were standing right next to this Fauji, and they said, "I have clothes to wash, you know." Another said, "I want to go for cooking." Everybody disappeared. Only this Fauji man was remaining. And then when this man came with all his friends, he said, "You are the person who actually beat me yesterday?" I said, "Yes." "You want more?" So this gentleman, you know, took out 500 rupees from his pocket, gave it to him and said, "Can you give me 5 Bhagavad Gitas?" So I said, "Wow, it was a very powerful way of giving a Bhagavad Gita. We don't recommend that everybody does like that." But sometimes, you know, some kind of self-defense is required. And so a lot of powerful methods for actual self-defense were there in our own backyard, and practically everybody would be trained in that as part of routine, and that would improve the health and keep things robust and strong. As far as languages are concerned, India is a land of multiple languages, more than 900 languages. Sometimes it is described 1500 languages, depending on what kind of interpretation you give to that. And there are more than 120 scripts. And Sanskrit is such a powerful language, it is considered to be closest to work as a computer language. And therefore it is said that the Sanskrit manuscripts are so many across the whole world that in Chennai, in one library, there are 44,000 pages filled with just the list of all the various Sanskrit manuscripts available in different parts of the world. Just the list of the manuscripts is 44,000 pages. In the University of Philadelphia, there are more than 100,000 documents related to only astronomy in Sanskrit. So you cannot imagine and fathom what is the kind of knowledge which is available with respect to Sanskrit in India. And you find a very close resemblance between many of the languages which we find today, and Sanskrit, like for example, the word mother is very closely linked to the Sanskrit word matri. Pitar, father. Bratar, brother. Swasar, sister. Dwar, door. Ma, me. Naman, name. Smita, smile. Eka, equal. So a lot of these words which we find, they have an origin coming from Sanskrit. And there are some villages, specifically in Karnataka, MP and Orissa, the whole village even today speak only Sanskrit. If you go there, you have to know Sanskrit. Otherwise you will go hungry. No, you will get something. But you should know Sanskrit to be able to converse. So therefore, we find that based on this, the languages in India are so diverse. And amongst all of those languages, Sanskrit is the sweetest and the origin of all. If somebody calls you Vaishakhanandan, how you will feel? So Vaishakhanandan basically refers to, it sounds very sweet, but it refers to donkey. But that's the sweetness of the language. Vaishakhanandan. I say, boliye. Kya matlab hua? Iska matlab hai, gadhe ho. Oh my God. One who is very happy in summer season. And then, even during the British time, when they introduced the railway system in India, right in 1862 they set up workshops, in both Ajmer and Bengal, and they were actually having railway coaches being made. Within 15 to 18 years, the Indian engineers picked it up so wonderfully, so powerfully, that they started innovating and creating designs for their own coaches indigenously made in India. And the British were bewildered. They could not believe this, what was going on. And so after 30 years, they made sure that this indigenously made technology is ultimately stopped, because they just felt that we lose the market of importing things from UK to India. And therefore we find that the innovation in intellect has always been prominent. Right? And I was telling this story that when across the world, due to the Lehman Brothers collapse, the economy was going down, the Indian economy was going up. And at that time, one of the very prominent professors in business schools, he analyzed the situation and he called it Jugaad. That there is a certain kind of ability to innovate and be resilient although things change. And that capacity to innovate in the face of various difficulties and challenges is very, very crucial. I was traveling for a program to IIT Kharagpur many years ago, and I was having a couple of friends from America with me, and the flight landed at Kolkata. When the flight landed, we heard that that day is Bengal Band, and when Bengal is Band, it is really Band. Nothing moves. So when I came out of the airport, I thought, okay, today is Band, so no program. So they welcomed us with garlands, and all three of us got garlands. So I asked the organizer, so today no program, program cancelled because Bengal Band. They said, no, program is on. I said, but Kharagpur is 3 hours drive. How we will go? They said, we have come to pick you up in an ambulance. Out of the box. Innovative thinking. I could never have imagined. And I remember this scene, I'm going into this ambulance in the front and my two friends from abroad, they look at the ambulance and they are bewildered and say, why are we getting into ambulance? I said, it's a long story. I have to explain to you what bandh means. Sometimes as we are driving, there may be stones thrown upon us, but even if that happens, we are in the right vehicle, don't worry. The ambulance. And then people were stopping us now and then. I was giving them prasad and moving forward. At one point, one gentleman said, I want to see who's behind. I think there is something going on here. I said, go and look behind. So he looked behind, and my two friends, after taking breakfast with garlands around their head, were sleeping peacefully. And this man looked inside and said, inki atma ko shanti mile. And within 3 hours, we reached the destination. So therefore, out-of-the-box thinking, very important. And therefore, we find that this is just a glimpse of all the various kinds of achievements in terms of economy, science, technology, mathematics. The vigor of the intellect was very much in tune with the intuition of the spirit. So the spiritual intuition and the innovative intelligence along with integrity. When all these three are together, intuition, intelligence and integrity, society is in harmony. And therefore, till the early 1900s, nobody ever heard the term divorce. Society was at peace, in harmony. There are accounts of hundreds of travelers who came to India and they have written accounts. And what impressed them is not merely the prosperity, that along with that economic prosperity was a harmonious society. And therefore, we were not only the most prosperous, wealthiest nation in the world for more than 1800 years, but we managed sufficient amount of peace along with that prosperity. The secret for that was, the foundation for all that prosperity was spirituality. And along with that was perfect integrity and character. So if one simply uses intelligence without the spiritual intuition and without the proper integrity, then society goes into shambles. And so we find that India today has a population of 1.3 billion. So now we move to the second phase of India today. And that is 82 crore are living in the villages. But now, 10% of Indians, they actually control 80% of India's wealth. And so it has become the second most socially unequal country after the US in terms of economic disparity. And so we find that 3/4 of the rural population has monthly income of less than 5,000 rupees. And so we find that along with the worldwide spread of drugs, India is also affected. Worldwide, 31 million people are influenced by drug addiction. And there are 450,000 deaths which happen due to drugs. And it has increased by 60% from year 2000 to 2015. The moral degradation is growing. Anxiety is growing. Mental health is a big challenge. 300 million people globally suffer from depression. And one person every 40 seconds is committing suicide. As the lecture is going on, every 40 seconds pass, somebody somewhere in the world is experiencing helplessness and hopelessness and commit suicide. As per the National Crime Records Bureau, 1,35,000 people commit suicides in India every annum, which amounts to 370 people every day. And therefore, especially in the youth, suicide is the second largest cause of death. We find that various kinds of illnesses come due to leading a sedentary lifestyle, not sufficient exercise, not leading a healthy lifestyle, and more than 2 million deaths happen per annum. In the world, divorce has become a big issue. In America, the divorce rates are up to 50%. In some countries in Europe, it goes up to 70%. In India, when the first divorce happened, it was reported in newspaper. Aisa bhi hota hai. And now, the divorce rate has hit up to 14%. Still a lot less. And you'll be happy to know that although in the last 50 years, Bollywood has been promoting all kinds of love affairs, runaway stories, Romeo-Juliet type, you know, ek duje ke liye. But still, you'll be amazed to know that more than 80% of marriages conducted by Indian youth today are still arranged marriages only. Because still, what you see on the screen has still not been able to break through the cultural ethos which have been going on for so long. And then abortion is growing, and in India, 15.6 million babies are aborted every year. Environmental degradation growing rampantly. You'll be shocked to know that only 20% of the waste is treated, and drinking water is the greatest cause of death, polluted drinking water. And out of the top 20 polluted cities in the world, 13 are in India. And you'll be very shocked to know that Ganga and Yamuna have been described to be amongst the 10 most polluted rivers in the world. These are all very painful statistics which I'm sharing with all of you. 36% of the global population, which is around 2.4 billion, are experiencing water scarcity. The global middle class is growing, and so is the Indian urban class. And from 11.4%, we have grown to 31.16% all the way from 1900 till today, which is an increase of 1,004%. Therefore, with this kind of growth in terms of numbers, but which is not matched by any kind of intervention in terms of culture, ethos, ethics, we find that society is at the stage of breakdown. And most people are unable to figure out, yes, we can add machines, we can add technology, we are improving the speed with which people are going from one place to another, we are increasing the ability of the machines to process information. But what will you do with all of this social degradation, social disasters and breakdown? Do we have any control over it? I was doing a program in America, and I gave a lecture at one college, and after the talk, one gentleman walked up to me, and he was speaking to me in chaste Hindi. And I said, "Hey, are you Indian or American?" He said, "I'm American." "How you are speaking Hindi?" He said, "Well, I grew up in a multimillionaire family. When I was 17 years old, I asked my dad, 'You gave me everything in life, you know, big house, Mercedes, this, that, but you did not give me one thing, the experience of a cozy family life, because you were divorced, and I grew up alone. Now I want to experience what is family. Tell me, where can I experience? Father said, I am too old now, Baba. I can't give you experience of family. But I can tell you the family as an institution is breaking down in most parts of the world. But if there is one country in the world where the family institution is still held sacred and preserved to a certain degree, that is India, Bharat. Go there. And so he came to one of the cities, went to one family and said, you allow me to stay in your family for 2 years as a paying guest. I want to experience what it means to be with other family members. To experience the love and affection and exchange with other family members. And if you allow me to stay for 2 years, I will give you every month a rent of 1 lakh rupees. That family said, why 2 years? Stay whole life. And they said, if you have other friends who want to experience, bring them also. Family tourism. But many times you may take things for granted. You may think, what's the big deal? But when someone has not had the experience of what it means to be with a loving family, and that experience a person can get only once in his life when he's growing up, that's such a pain which nobody can actually imagine. And believe me, if we do not invest in something, it will gradually fade away. And if we as a society do not invest in family, very soon we will find that family as an institution will break down. And therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami always says, a family that prays together stays together. And therefore, as far as wealth is concerned, wealth will come, wealth will go. But sometimes we become so obsessed with wealth creation that we just feel that is end all and be all and everything else is nonsense. And people are willing to sacrifice anything else just for getting some wealth. A man went to an astrologer and said, I am very disturbed by poverty. What should I do? The astrologer saw through his charts and said, you will be very, very disturbed due to poverty till the age of 40. Then the man became happy. He said, then 40, after 40 what? The astrologer said, you will get used to poverty. So we may think, I have to focus fully only on economic development. No, our Vedic paradigm was dharma, artha. Based on dharma, artha. Then kama and moksha, everything was in harmony. Right? And therefore the purpose of the human form of life was first defined. The spiritual intuition was the foundation. Based on that, yes, the intellect was used. And then it was cushioned with the proper integrity. It was a complete package. I was doing Pujari Seva one time here at Radha Gopinath. And one young man came to me and he offered one bag and he said, I want this to be offered to Radha Gopinath. I looked inside the bag. It was a pair of boxing gloves. I said, you don't offer boxing gloves to Krishna. He said, hey, you are Pujari. What is your problem? You offer it. I said, from why you are giving boxing gloves? He said, I am a boxer. I attended Gita course. In Gita course they said, you know, whatever you get new, offer it to Krishna. So, I am coming here to offer. So, what is your problem? You do your job. So, I offered and brought the gloves back and gave it to this young man. And I said, now that I have offered it and I am giving you back, what you will do with this? So he said, whoever I hit will get Gopinath's Mahaprasad. So I said, you didn't hear in the Gita course the first point, what is the purpose of human life? So the purpose of human life has to be defined first. And therefore, we find that when that purpose is not defined, you get a list of statistics of how society is going out of control. Because when you start leading a life based on selfishness, exploitation, self-degradation, then it results in all kinds of exploitation and degradation of society, other members, and the environment. So we find that India as a country is going through a post-colonial crisis where we do not have a proper idea of our identity. What should we focus on? And that will continue if we do not really focus on the spiritual values. And so we find that, generally speaking, in today's day and age, many people become so negative and they say that, oh, everything is going wrong, there are so many problems in this country, this is not going well, that is not going well. No, the fact is the ethics, the ethos, the culture of our past also has several economic ramifications. For example, one of the biggest causes of spending for the government in America is Social Security, where the society does not know what to do with the old people because the family members, they separate at the age of 17. When the son becomes 17, he leaves the family, son or daughter, and they find their own way. And so therefore the state has to take care of several old people. And therefore we find that Social Security, it is a very big issue. And practically 51% of the population is dependent in this manner. Whereas in India, the entire aspect of Social Security is privatized, but within families. And therefore, Goldman Sachs had a report where they said that the infrastructure costs for India over the next decade would be more than $1.7 trillion. But practically majority of that would be funded through savings of individuals. And that savings of the individuals in the banks will go to a value of more than $800 billion. And therefore we find that the whole concept of saving is very much part of our ethos, of our culture. Social Security, savings, and respect, honor, dignity, affection, love. These are all values which we have been learning in the Vedic scriptures. And although the formal teaching of these have stopped, still the reflection of those values is still continuing. India has only 15,000 police stations as against 17,000 in US. And the population of India is 1.2 billion as against America's 30 odd crores. But in spite of that, the crime rate in India is lesser. And the reason being that when there is a society which is trained in certain values and ethics, when people learn how to control themselves better, it has an impact in the overall society. And therefore, even in the profession like medical, many of you may not know, but India is one of the most sought after destinations in the world for treating all kinds of diseases. And there are more than 500,000 people who actually visit India every year because they find that here is a place where there is care, attention, and value given to the patient. And so there is not only excellence in medical care, but there is also empathy in the way people are actually taken care. And these are all things which you cannot understand till you dissect the ethos and the culture of this place, which is centered around spiritual intuition, which results in qualities and values of care, compassion, respect and nobility. We find that the Indian NRI population, non-resident Indians, is more than 13 million across the world. And these Indians who have gone abroad, they are definitely making money, but at the same time they have not forgotten their connection to this land. And these 13 million Indians put together, they make an annual contribution of $13 billion in terms of philanthropy, giving back to society here in India. And therefore, especially we find that in America, the largest population is that of Indians who are very successful. The top CEOs of some of the companies like Pepsi, Microsoft, Google, Adobe, all of these, they are Indians who were trained in colleges and universities in India. And now they are running these corporations there. And therefore, in Silicon Valley, when there was this whole financial collapse, and during that financial collapse, more than 10,000 people committed suicide. But practically, 15% of the startups in the Silicon Valley were actually done by the Indians, who comprise only 6% of the population. And they thus created employment for so many people. And therefore, we find here that in terms of education, Indians are always doing very well, especially in America. 70% of the Indians have bachelor's degrees, as against 28%, which is the national average in America. 40% have master's and PhD, as against 8% of the national average. 35% of the hotels in USA are owned by Indians. And there is a saying that behind every motel there is a Patel. And one very important feature is that in many countries of the world, entertainment, education, shopping, all of this becomes practically impossible unless you are of a certain elite class. And those who are in the poor category cannot afford it. But somehow in India we have all kinds of facilities for all varieties who can experience entertainment. They can experience shopping, they can do all kinds of things, whether they are very rich or average or medium. So therefore, today we are living in a day and age where practically India is very, very prominently present across the whole world. Indians are present in very prominent positions. India is no longer seen as a country which can be ignored, and it is seen as a very powerful rising economic power. But dear friends, what is the real value add which Indians can make in this current scenario? Many years ago, when this is around 10 years ago, there was one of the devotees, he was just begun chanting. And as he started the chanting of the holy names, he got some intuition. He went to his father and said, "Dear father, these shares which we have from this one company, we should sell those shares." Father said, "What happened?" He said, "I am getting an intuition. Something will go wrong." Father said, "Who told you?" He said, "Chanting." Father said, "Stop chanting." He says, no, I am very confident." So he went to the HSBC fund manager and told him, "I want you to sell these shares." The HSBC man said, "Hey, I'm an MBA in finance. I don't see any problem happening." He says, "No, I'm telling you, sell these shares. It is my money." He says, "From where you are getting this idea?" He said, "I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm getting some intuition." So the HSBC man thought, this guy has gone crazy. But anyway, he sold those shares. And then, a week later, the Lehman Brothers collapsed. And across the world there was an economic meltdown, And this family, because they sold the shares at the right time, saved more than 12 crore rupees. The father called the son and beta, chant more. And this HSBC guy, he called him and said, what was that mantra? Nobody taught me at the MBA school, you know. So he was just like totally bewildered. And so, you know, there was this devotee standing at a book table in Russia. And the one doctor came out of the conference, looked at this young man and said, hey, what are these books for? This young devotee looked at this doctor and said, the books are for you, to help you understand whether you are body or the soul. The doctor was like impressed. He said, oh, looks like a different kind of guy. He said, you're talking very big things. What is your age? So this devotee said, whose age? Body or soul's? The doctor surrendered. He said, Baba, I must take this book. He purchased the book, started chanting, and he got connected. Now he's initiated. So many times, we may just think, the existing skill sets which I have is more than enough. But unless we connect spirituality to our intelligence, we cannot lead a life which is going to be filled with integrity and honesty. We will be out of sync with ourselves, and we will be out of sync with the overall purpose of our lives. Therefore, the third aspect is, yes, India today is a mixture of several success stories and several areas which require plugging the gaps and improvement. But then, we should not analyze simply in terms of economic development. Let us not be focused on success of a nation based on the parameter of artha and kama. The foundation is always dharma. And therefore, the India of tomorrow is going to be an India which realizes the value of its soft power. Soft power is the ability to actually influence others through one's knowledge, through one's culture, through one's values. And we have a very powerful history of values and culture. There was a survey conducted across India, and it was found that only 0.24% of people surveyed in India claimed they were atheist. That means such a large population believes in the existence of God. 76% of population declared they were God-fearing. Many of you may be coming to ISKCON for the first time. Some of you have been coming for some time, but even before coming to Krishna consciousness or connecting with this process, how many of you have visited any temples or any of the places of worship? Raise your hand. Of any type. Just see. You know, because we have 33 crore demigods to choose from. We have such a variety. So therefore, very interesting that in US, the Stanford Research Institute came with a study of internet users, and they found that 10% of the US population, which made up of practically 50% of the internet users in the year 2002-2003, they are known as actualizers, well-educated, but they were very eager for self-actualization or self-realization. One of the very powerful historian called Lewis Mumford, he says, every transformation of man rested on a new metaphysical and ideological change or wave. And it all depends on how society changes its perspective towards two things, towards nature and towards the individual. And therefore we find that the World Values Survey was conducted by Ronald Ingethardt, and he went to over 43 nations and practically covered samples of 70% of the population. And he came to this conclusion as a result of this World Values Survey that 12 nations are very, very prominent amongst them, where the population in these nations has lost their trust in the existing paradigm of governance, economic development, sense enjoyment, science and technology. And majority of the population in these 12 nations are interested in two things: personal growth and inner development. And therefore we find that amongst these nations is US, UK, Canada, Scandinavia. These nations, majority of the population is now looking for answers. And so we find that there are 44 million adults in America who are called as culturally creative, and they have three prominent symptoms. The 44 million culturally creative part of the population, they are looking for spiritual transformation, personal development, and ecological sustainability. And these are the exact answers which the Vedic scriptures have since time immemorial. Personal development through spiritual transformation. And when you transform yourself, you care for nature. So therefore, harmony with the self, harmony with the divine, harmony with others, harmony with nature. That's basically the essence of the Vedic teachings. Perfect harmony. And therefore, 24% of the US population is now setting their eyes on this new paradigm. Where this knowledge will come, which will teach us the right way to actually live our lives. And therefore, dear friends, this is where India's contribution to the world actually begins. And this is where your contribution begins. Yoga is currently a 300 million practitioners across the whole world. And UNESCO has declared yoga to be like an intangible resource heritage. Intangible heritage, UNESCO has declared. Practically the whole world, the yoga market has grown up to $16 billion, $80 billion globally, and $16 billion in US alone. In India, in the four metros, there was a 30% increase in yoga practitioners in the year 2016 and 2017. And so we find that yoga is very much part of our tradition and culture, and Bhagavad Gita is speaking about all kinds of yoga, which means connection. Yoga ultimately means connecting and trying to improve and increase your harmony. And therefore, India's culture is very much tuned in to the concept and the principle of harmony at all levels. If you travel across India, what you will find, the special feature of India is anywhere you go, you just cannot forget the Supreme Lord or any of the demigods. Is it not? That's how it is. People ask, what is so special about India? And I say, India is the only place where from any town, any city, within 2 hours you will find a place where Krishna or the incarnations or any of the great souls have performed some pastime, some holy place, some holy river, some holy tirth is there. And thus Adi Varaha Puran describes that in India there are 600 million tirthas, holy places, in this one country. So if you try to visit the holy places, you can imagine how long it will take. But the fact is that we in this very country have become cut off from this very culture. If you just go through the phone directory, so many names are all connected to Krishna, Ram, various gods' names. Is it not? You will be chanting the Lord's name as you are reading out various names. It's all connected. Right near our temple there is Sudama Palace Beer Bar. So even someone goes to drink beer, he can't forget Sudama and he remembers Krishna. You go to smoke bidi, there is Ganesh bidi. So anywhere you go, you cannot forget. Right? I was talking to one young boy who was from Bengal. I said, oh, you are from Bengal, so you must be knowing all the Vaishnava acharyas from Bengal. Do you know Vishwanath Chakravarti? He said, I know only Mithun Chakravarti. Bollywood has so prominently taken over that our own background we are not connected with. Therefore, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, He went to America because He found that Indians are very much looking towards the West. And they feel if something is made in USA, it must be good. So Prabhupada went to America and then brought dancing white elephants, devotees from America, and they established Krishna consciousness in India and all parts of the world. Prabhupada was driving in a car in Calcutta and suddenly the horn failed. Horn was not working. And this devotee was driving got bewildered. It was an American devotee. He said, Prabhupada, the horn is not working. Prabhupada, so what? Happens. So he said, what do I do? Prabhupada coolly took out a plate, his eating plate from his bag, took a spoon. Prabhupada said, whenever you want me to hit the horn, tell me, I will do ting, 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 ting. And this devotee was totally shocked. He had never seen a technology like this. And as they were driving, Prabhupada commented, tomorrow you will see many Indian cars doing this because they will think this is made in America. Because there are so many American devotees sitting here in this car. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada gets the credit for going to America, establishing Krishna consciousness and bringing in the message of the Bhagavad Gita to each and every town and village across the whole world. And Prabhupada was in London, and someone asked him, why have you come to London? And Prabhupada said, the British came and looted so many jewels and pearls from India for last 300 years. They forgot to steal one thing, Bhagavad Gita, that I have come to give delivery. And therefore, you'll be happy to know that in the last 50 years, ISKCON devotees have distributed more than 50 crore Bhagavad Gitas all over the world. So many of you may be graduates in MBA, but Bhagavad Gita also gives you MBA degree, Man Buddhi Ahankar. It gives you the difference between all of these and how the soul is right in the midst of all of that. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he actually wished practically the whole world connects based on this spiritual knowledge, spiritual technology, because the suffering is there everywhere and the suffering is due to this misidentification of not knowing who I am. And therefore, this Gita addresses the core issue first. When I know who I am, then I can act accordingly to satisfy the needs of the self. That's the foundation of Vedic civilization. Therefore, ISKCON is trying to do four things: to live, to learn, the spiritual principles, to live based on the spiritual principles, to love, that means share this knowledge with others of spiritual principles, and lead the entire world in trying to follow the spiritual principles, so that not only each one of us is benefited, but anybody we come in touch with, they also get the benefit of these spiritual principles. So as youth of India, you have a major responsibility to follow. Your responsibility is you practice spiritual principles in your life, add value to whatever you are doing in your day-to-day life, and then know that the purpose of life is not just artha and kama, not just economic development and sense gratification, but the purpose of life is to learn. I am not the controller, I am not the enjoyer. And when you learn that, you integrate in harmony with your own insignificant self and develop the service attitude. You want to serve the Supreme Lord, you want to serve each and every soul connected to you. From selfish enjoyment, the perspective changes to selfless service. And just imagine if the whole world is filled with such souls whose eyes are anointed with the feelings of just serving selflessly, how the world will benefit. So every country in the world has a USP. Japan was famous for electronics. Israel is famous for irrigation. Swiss, they're famous for their watches. China is famous for manufacturing. India can do many of these things for sure. But we should not forget, the foundation for all this is what is available in India. As Prabhupada would say, the eyes, the spiritual knowledge. To be able to see that, yes, we have limited control over our circumstances, but unlimited control over our consciousness. And that ability to control the consciousness, that spiritual intuition, is the foundation of Vedic culture. Based on that spiritual intuition, you have innovative intelligence, and then you couple that with powerful integrity, and the package is complete. We were in a yatra in Mayapur many years ago, and then someone said, we should have, you know, every day you are giving poha and upma and everything, you should have pav bhaji. So I said, okay, agreed. So we gave order for the pav bhaji, that means pav. And so this person in Calcutta said, I will send the pav late at night, fresh, hot. I said, don't take so much risk, send one day before. He says, no, I want to serve, fresh, I cannot send in advance. So early in the morning, 4 o'clock, I called him. I said, where have you reached? So he was actually caught in traffic jam, because that night was Kali Puja, and there was a traffic jam, and he was stuck somewhere. So I asked him, is the pav coming on time? It's already 4 o'clock, I'm beginning to cook the bhaji. In 3 hours, it'll be ready. He said, you go ahead, you start. Abhi pahunch raha hu. So India has its own version of GPS. So he was not willing to reveal where he exactly was. He was actually 1 hour further away. But he just said, I'm just reaching. So that is one good thing, positive, you will always hear. Sab theek hai, sab theek hai. Pahunch gaye, bas abhi pahunch gaye. Kitne der mein? 2 minutes. 2 ghanta ho gaya, kya ho gaya? Bas, matlab wahi 2 minutes, Brahma ji ka 2 minutes. So I cooked the bhaji, everything ready at 7 o'clock, pav not to be seen. So the people started standing in line, and that's a very scary scene. And so as people were standing, I was hoping nobody comes inside, then, you know, some people started coming in, they started asking, what is for menu? I said, bread and jam. They said, what? I said, yeah, traffic jam. And then, you know, I said, vada pav is there, pav bhaji is there, but pav will take some more time to come. And the line reached to the outskirts of Mayapur Chandro there, right outside the gate. And then people were saying, दो पाव पर खड़े हैं, एक पाव नहीं मिल रहा है. क्या चल रहा है? Then at the right moment, the bus came, the truck came, and then this devotee was sitting with the driver. He looked at that long line, asked the last guy who was standing there, what is this line for? The line kyun khadi hai? Bola, suna Kolkata se paav aa raha hai. This guy got so bewildered, he thought I'll be beaten if I go inside. He told the driver, Ganga snan karne ja raha hu main. And he ran away. And so things go wrong. Things don't always work. And you have to be prepared for that in life. So therefore there are various countries in the world which teach people how to make things work. Right? How to make things work. But there is one country in the world which teaches you what to do when things don't work. And that is India. And therefore the difference between success and happiness is success means to get what you like and happiness means to like what you get. And this message of the Gita is ultimately to help each one of us live life based on the message of the Gita, transform our lives, devote our lives in such a way that we take spiritual intuition as the foundation of our lives. Then utilize your intelligence to the full capacity in harmony with that spiritual intuition. And then make sure that your character and integrity is also harmonized with the same. So when you have intuition, intelligence and integrity, you have a harmonious life personally, you have a harmonious life with everyone in the society, you benefit, the world benefits, and this crucial message is what India has to deliver to the whole world. And therefore we say, Mera Bharat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So let us thank His Grace Gaurang Prabhu for that brilliant talk.
Thank you.
So thank you, Prabhu, for that brilliant talk and giving us the package of 3 I: intelligence, integrity and intuition. So we have esteemed guests with us. Let us welcome them. I have a list of them. Mrs. Shefali Jhaveri, architect. Mr. Ganesh Srivasan, CSR head of Ingram Micro India Private Limited. We have with us Mr. Rick Kho from Singapore, CEO of Matrix Technology. Along with him is Danica Chen from China. We have with us Mr. Nikhilesh Mukherjee, manager in Suez India Private Limited. Dr. Swarnalata, principal of B.Ed. College, Vashi, with her 2 sons, Anand Prasad and Harichandan. Dr. Gaurav Kamala and pathologist Shivangi Kamala. Dr. Praveen Srinath, head of department, computer engineering in NMS College of Engineering. Along with him, Professor Prashant Udhavant at NMIMS. We also have with us His Grace Rasamrit Prabhu, chartered accountant, coming all the way from UAE. And if anyone whom I have missed, so let us welcome this esteemed guest in our traditional way by loudly chanting. Also, we would like to welcome newcomers, the devotees who have come very first time to this temple. So I request them to kindly stand at your respected places so that we can welcome you. Thank you all for taking out your time today evening. You all have given a special coupon. So we have arranged a special prasadam for all of you and a gift after that. So kindly avail of this facility. And for you, we have also arranged a seminar next week, Sunday, between 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Kindly register for that seminar too. So let us welcome these devotees in our traditional way by loudly chanting. Kindly be seated.
Question answer.
Hare
so
Krishna,
kindly be
Krishna,
kindly
please.
Kindly be seated. There will be question answer session after
please
that.
Please come forward. All the please. People who are sitting so that look like many people from outside want to come in.
So there are few announcements from Book Godown. So book like Back to Godhead magazines are available on discount rate. So this is for this special Prerna festival. So the whole year subscription is available only for 250 rupees in any language, and a set of 12 copies of 2016-17 is also available only in 120 rupees. So please contact BTG stall downstairs. Also, for this Prerna festival, Tulsi Books are also offering 50% discount on Prerna books like Checkmate and all other books. So kindly visit the stall below. So now I open this session for question answers. Anyone who has any question, kindly raise your hand. We'll send the mic to you. Okay, that person there.
Yeah, close that door, outside door. Yeah, questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this wonderful lecture, Prabhu. Prabhu, as you described the past, the history of India, India was economically and spiritually so powerful over the past centuries. And we attribute this, what you call westernization culture, modernization or urbanization that you call, to the British rule mainly. That we find all these Western things very cool and we try to ape them. The youngsters very easily, you know. So my question is, was our foundation, you call it the spiritual foundation or whatever, so weak that within just 250 odd years it could be easily toppled?
Well, I would say the foundation has been so strong that in spite of repeated attacks, it has still not been toppled, and we still are a Hindu majority in this country. Otherwise, so many other continents have totally lost their particular identity. And so, partly the reason is that the Brahminical class, they had a downfall, and the leadership in terms of spiritual principles was lacking as Kali Yuga was progressing in the last 400 to 500 years ago. And then, of course, by the onslaught of all of these other, you know, cultural baggages, it became more and more difficult for people to follow. But still, the general resilience is so strong that people somehow still manage to practice their basic etiquettes. The Indian anywhere in the world never loses his Indianness. Right, if a South Indian goes to America, he will take his dahi chawal there also. And that's why many people get irritated also. That tum log kidhar bhi ghoomta hai, dil udhar hi rehta hai. So therefore, Prabhupada was, you know, very, very intelligent that he went to America and transformed the people there. And they have never heard anything like this. But they were open. And so they heard these holy names and they started changing, transforming. In one temple, one young man joined. And then, it was the first time he was in the temple, so he went along with the devotees for Harinam Sankirtan. And when he went for the Sankirtan, the devotees were singing this Kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then they started singing this tune, Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So he was a new man, he never heard this, he couldn't figure out what's going on. He tried to hear more carefully. Kya bol kya rahe? But he couldn't get it. So he thought they are saying, one man was leading, other people were responding. So the person was leading, Gaur Nityananda Bol, he heard it, this young man heard it, where did Nityananda go? That's what he was hearing. And what he heard the response, I don't know, I don't know. So he was going every day and thinking, hey, where did this Nityananda go, Baba? What is every day going on? Who are they searching for? So one day, you know, he was sitting in Prasadam Hall, thinking I should ask somebody. There was one man sitting next to him. He thought there is a good chance to ask quietly. So while eating prasad, he asked him, where did Nityananda go? His dude said, I don't know. So he stayed some more time, then he realized what this whole thing was all about. Nobody could have imagined before 1966 that there would be ISKCON temples in different parts of the world. So they used to say that the sun never sets in the British Empire. But today there are ISKCON temples in Japan, India, China, Australia, Russia, Europe, you know, Africa, different parts, South America, North America. And there is also book distribution party which goes to Greenland to distribute books to the Eskimos. So now you can safely say today that the sun never sets in ISKCON. In one place, Mangalarti is going on. Now Shayan Darshan has happened here. Some other temple Mangalarti is going on. Right? So therefore, now we have the facility to practice the spiritual principles in any continent, anywhere in the world. That's my response, that things are not so bad. In fact, the incidents have revealed that our culture and our tradition has been very, very strong to an extent that we have not just caved in. We have stood up and managed to still have a very powerful spiritual culture, vibrant, active. And so we have so many youth here wearing tilak, kantimala, open to declare, yes, I am practicing spiritual life. Okay? Thank you. Any other question? Yeah, here. And then there is this gentleman at the back.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for all the talks from the last years. So Prabhu, you are bigger than our age. So you have experienced a past material mind and also a elevated conscious mind, we can say, like at an elevated level. So after practicing Krishna consciousness or chanting for so long time, so is it like that mind still fluctuates like a wave, or it is settled down, like when you were in your young age? I have seen your past stories and all. So at that time we can say it, like, okay, you have a teenage mind, but now still mind fluctuates, or it is all.
Mind is fluctuating less than before, and it will go on improving to the extent we go on practicing. For more details, meet me privately. Next question. Yes. looks like you are looking for a career in journalism. आज तक टेलीविजन चैनल से क्या? यस सर बोलिए.
हरे कृष्णा सर. आई हैव फोर क्वेश्चन फॉर यू.
फोर?
या
नहीं नहीं, ये चारों का एक, उसमें से एक लीजिए पहला. वन.
व्हाट इज योर रोल इन पुलिस पर्सन दैट स्टोरी?
आई
जो पुलिस वाला जो स्टोरी आपने बताया उसमें आपका रोल क्या है?
कौन सा वाला स्टोरी?
स्टार्टिंग में आपने जो अभी बताया.
हाँ.
जो पुलिस का स्टोरी, आपको क्या लगता है कि उसमें आपका रोल क्या होना चाहिए?
ओके. सो एनीवे आई डिडंट गेट योर, सो गो टू द सेकंड क्वेश्चन. सेकंड क्वेश्चन.
फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन ही वापस पूछता हूं. आपने जो अभी कुछ देर पहले जो पुलिस पर्सन का स्टोरी बताया, यू रिमेम्बर दैट?
पुलिस पर्सन का एग्जैक्ट कौन सा वाला? अच्छा अच्छा, वो पुलिस
फौजी का जो रामायण का जत हो.
हाँ हाँ हाँ, राइट राइट, ओके ओके, फर्स्ट वन.
हाँ, वो स्टोरी में आपको क्या लगता है कि आपका रोल क्या होना चाहिए?
बेसिकली द पर्पज ऑफ दैट स्टोरी इज टू शेयर दैट वी नीड टू इम्प्रूव द स्पिरिचुअल एजुकेशन अमंगस्ट द यूथ. दैट्स द आइडिया. So that's what we are doing here, improving the spiritual education. That's all. Next.
जो भूल वाला स्टोरी था उसमें आपको ऐसा लगता है कि हमेशा अपने को आगे जाने के लिए किसी का तो सपोर्ट चाहिए, तो आपको क्या लगता है कि रियली अपने को सपोर्ट चाहिए हमेशा किसी का?
बिना आश्रय का कुछ करना बड़ा कठिन है. पूरे विश्व भर में अलग अलग प्रकार से लोग आगे बढ़ने का प्रयास कर रहे हैं, लेकिन भारत में सबसे बड़ी विशेषता है कि आगे बढ़ने के लिए बाकी सभी रास्ते और मार्गों के साथ साथ सबसे बड़ा हम लोगों के पास अवलंबन का क्षेत्र है आध्यात्मिक ज्ञान. उसका आश्रय लो और आगे बढ़ो. Any other question? No, we will give chance to some other people also. No, thank you.
On this basis?
No, no, no.
I just ask you one question.
Ek aur koi abhi. Ek aur. Aur
no, no.
Inka
this is last one.
Yeah, last. Yeah, last. 9:25 ho gaya hai.
Please,
puchhiye,
please. I request you, ki agar aap bol rahe ki adhyatmik zaruri hai, to really apne ko murti puja karna zaruri hai?
Haan, bahut zaruri hai. Aap ye mic dijiye inko. मैं बता रहा हूं उनको. तो मूर्ति पूजा के पीछे ऐसा है कि अगर किसी को पत्र भेजना हो तो कोई पूछेगा लाल डब्बे में डालना जरूरी है क्या? तो पत्र जो है पोस्टल डिपार्टमेंट के माध्यम से जाता है. तो अगर मैं अपने कमरे के अंदर एक लाल डब्बा बिठा दूं और उसमें डालूं और अगले दिन देखूं, अरे ये तो यहीं पड़ी है, गई नहीं कहीं, क्या हो गया? तो पोस्टल डिपार्टमेंट अपने हिसाब से नियम निर्धारित करते हैं कि कौन सा डब्बा लाल होगा, कहां होगा. उनके हिसाब से जब हम पत्र डालते हैं तो फिर वो लाल डब्बे के माध्यम से वो अपने डेस्टिनेशन तक पहुंचता है. वैसे ही परमपिता परमेश्वर ने कहा है कि बेटा मैं तो सर्वत्र विद्यमान हूं, लेकिन क्या करें, आपके पास नेत्र नहीं, चक्षु नहीं मुझे देखने के लिए, पहचानने के लिए. जो उधार लेता है वो भूल जाता है कि उधार किसको चुकाना है, इसलिए अलग अलग रूप में मैं आता हूं उधार लेने के लिए वापस आपसे. ये रूप है. इनको दीजिए. लास्ट क्वेश्चन, देन वील हैव कीर्तन. हाँ पूछिए पूछिए.
एक्चुअली आपका लेक्चर बहुत अच्छा था. हमारे हम स्टूडेंट एक्चुअली सर, वो तो मेजोरिटी इधर स्टूडेंट है. सर मेरा एक ही सिंपल क्वेश्चन है, जैसे कि how to make a balance between material life and spiritual life. तो material life में
how to make balance? You have attended 150th prerana. Hope to see you in 175th and 200th prerana also. So you keep associating. When you keep associating, then you will get the perfect understanding how you can practice nicely. Without the association, you will not get the balance. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So, would like to inform you that today more than 850 youth have participated in Prerna Festival. And today's Prerna Management Seva done by Talwan Base under the guidance of Baldev Prabhu and Narsimha Leela Prabhu.